Later this hour, a look at one of the most radical and important unilateral decisions by a U.S. president in American history. Think about it. You'll be surprised by the answer to that question. But first, the Senate approved a measure yesterday to keep the U.S. government operating with a key amendment that would fund the president's plan to train and arm Syrian rebels. It's the only part of the current fight against ISIS that the president claims he even needs congressional authorization for. Despite assurances that there will be no U.S. combat troops in Syria, Congress is watching the White House cautiously these days. And Todd Zwillick is watching the Congress. Takeaway Washington correspondent joins us now. Hi, Todd.
Hi, John.
So what was the debate like yesterday? It was a lot about vetting, you know, some months ago when we were talking about arming the rebels in Syria. Now it's a different kind of debate.
Who are the Syrian rebels? Will they fight ISIS instead of Bashar al-Assad? Where will the weapons go? And can they even do the job? Who are the other factions they're going to fight in Iraq and Syria? And is there going to be any kind of political settlement that's going to make this thing work? There are a lot of questions flying around Congress. But that bill with the Syria arming amendment that you mentioned passed easily, 78 votes, John.
And it was a government shutdown bill, actually, which got very little notice.
Well, it gets you only to December 11th, and that's going to be important, not only the government shutdown part, maybe the easy part at this point, although get back to me in December. But the Syria authorization also expires on December 11th, and this is important. Democrats yesterday, John, were very, very clear that December 11th is a cliff, a deadline for them, because when they come back after the election in the lame duck session, they are going to be drafting and putting on the floor a new AUMF, authorization for use of military force. They had one in 2001 for the war against Al-Qaeda after 9/11, had one in late 2002 for the war in Iraq. Hey, that was pretty consequential for people like Hillary Clinton and others and John Kerry politically, and certainly was the authorization that got George Bush to get us into Iraq. Democrats say that's over. You can't use that for ISIS. Listen to Dick Durbin. I was talking to him in the hallway. He says the president needs new authorization.
The notion that this president, any president, could use that forever and ever, amen, is troubling to me. I think it's time for Congress to step in for a thoughtful reflection on our constitutional responsibility.
So why didn't they do that last night?
Because that would be a debate that would go too long and too deep, and it's election time. People want to get home. They want to campaign. They want to make sure they get reelected. And a debate like that might be divisive, too. Now, there's also the mixed signals that are coming from the White House. The White House says, sure, Congress, knock yourself out, but the president says the 2003 authorization, the fight against Al-Qaeda especially, that's all I need. ISIS, they're really just Al-Qaeda. They've changed their brand. They changed their name. They shuffled a couple of guys at the top. But they're Al-Qaeda. I don't need you. Listen to John Kerry talking to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee earlier this week, John. He's the former head of that committee and one of the guys who, as a senator, was a check on presidential power. Listen.
I'm asking. Do it. Pass it. We'd love to have you do it. But we're not going to get stuck in the situation when we have the authority of not exercising our authority to do what we believe we need to do to protect the country.
We have the authority of not exercising our authority. You know, he can't change John Kerry.
Yeah, the answer there, and this infuriated a lot of people on Capitol Hill, and mostly Democrats and some Republicans too. Go right ahead, pass your AUMF, knock yourself out, Congress. We're going to do what we're going to do anyway, so enjoy the exercise. It really is an interesting moment. Look, all of the military tactics and the strategy issues, it's also yet another fascinating moment in the confrontation between the White House and Congress when it comes to war powers. This Democratic president who is against the war in Iraq, who ran on ending the war in Iraq, who claims to have ended the war in Iraq, now telling the Congress he's going to do more and he doesn't need them to do it.
Where does the combat troops stand? General Dempsey, this week would not rule out combat troops. He said that it would be a recommendation he would present to the president, but he didn't expect the president to take it up. But it's still out there somewhere.
And the president pushing back on the generals in a speech the very next day in Florida when he went down to CENTCOM and talking in front of some troops there, saying, let me be clear once again, there will be no combat troops. Well, this is getting into a semantical area, too. There are, or by the time this latest authorization is exercised, there will be 1,600 U.S. personnel that we know about on the ground in Iraq, none that we know about on the ground in Syria. The White House says those are not boots on the ground because they're not troops in a combat role. Of course, we have pilots. Of course, we have special ops advisors. Dempsey was trying to say if the current strategy fails, he'll recommend to the president to have special ops that maybe do join Iraqi units in a combat role. The president the next day says that's not going to happen. And the spokesman saying advisors, well, they're not really boots on the ground. They're not in a combat role. It's a big muddle. John, yesterday I asked Harry Reid, look, Democrats are heading into an election. And that answers your earlier question. Why not have this confrontation now? I asked Harry Reid, you know, Barack Obama ran on ending the war in Iraq. It was explicit. Has he failed? Are we still at war in Iraq? Listen.
The president has made extremely clear, couldn't be more clear, that there will be no combat troops in, of course, in Iraq, and certainly not in Syria. So, no, I think we're in a good spot there. They're not combat troops. They're airplane flyers.
Airplane flyers. We call them pilots. But what about the weapons themselves? Some of the Republicans have concerns about what ends up with the weapons that are going into Syria and Iraq.
And Democrats have concerns about the very same thing. Old experiences of arming the least non-friendly faction. Where will the weapons go? And in this case, will the Free Syrian Army, once they're trained, who will they want to fight? Their mission is to fight Bashar al-Assad. How can we get them to fight ISIS instead? Look, everyone knows that we sent duffel bags full of cash to get the Sunni awakening going. A lot of people on Capitol Hill are walking around asking, isn't it time to make it worth the while of ISIS too, with a little bit of Ben Franklin greenback action. Listen to Rand Paul here. He's got a lot of concern about the weapons.
Before we arm the so-called moderate Muslims in Syria, remember what I said a year ago. The ultimate irony is that someday these weapons will be used to fight against Americans.
In this case, though, the irony is that ISIS has plenty of weapons to use against Americans right now. They don't need to take them from the opposition at this point.
And they have some American weapons that they did take from the opposition in Mosul and other places. So the muddle of this is very interesting. Reporters trying to figure it out, John, know that they have to wait until December 11th to see what happens on the ground in Syria and Iraq to even know what the policy and political situation is going to be. It's just so fluid.
Have a good weekend, Todd.
Thanks, John. You too.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent.